Last week, if you want here, I encourage you to have a look at the podcast. What we wanted, we've been talking about, let me get this going, here we go, kingdom reality. There are two realities in the world today. There is the perceived reality, and a perceived reality is what you are going through. In other words, is the perceived reality is, what am I feeling? What are the things that are troubling me? What are the things that are facing me? So there is a reality. The reality is, you go into a doctor's surgery, he puts out the test and he says, your body has this reality, it has this disease in you. You look at your marriage or your relationship and you look at it, I know that there is tension, and you go, that is the present reality. Every one of us are always living in a reality. Now, when we start talking about the kingdom, there are two types of realities. Jesus puts that really well when he says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, which is source. And then he says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here you have these two realities now. God is saying, I want you from one reality to bring in another reality. So the reality you have, number one, you need to embrace this. The reality I am living now can be changed. If you live in a reality that says, this is it, this is as good as it gets, then you do that. See, one of the tortures that they had in World War II, World War I, all the way back from any armies, is when you took a prisoner, the biggest disarmament was when there is no hope. This is it. This is as good as it gets. So when you look at your present reality, is if you solidify it by saying this, this is it, this is as good as it gets, this is my hourly rate, this is my house, this is my job, this is it. And you start to do that. Now, because you are made in the image of God, you have the power to be content in your reality. You can be content in a bad reality. Talking with people that have been married for 20 years, sleeping in separate bedrooms, hardly ever talk, and they're happy. I'm going, how does that work? They go, well, she doesn't like me. I don't like him. Financially, we need each other. This is our reality. How do we make it work? Smile. I'm not talking about the person next to you. So you have the ability, because you're made in the image of God, to be content in a reality. But when God came down in the form of Christ, and he said, Jesus said, I want you to take the kingdom reality, which is heaven, and put it down here. Now, watch this. You're not a body that has acquired a spirit. You are a spirit that has acquired a body. Huge thing. I haven't got this up there because I was just, as I was praying this morning, I do a lot of praying in the car while I drive. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it says this. This is Jesus saying, a body you have prepared for me. So watch this, because we are made in the image of Christ. So what happened with Jesus? He says, I am coming to earth. So what did the Father do? He prepared a body. And then the spirit entered the body so that he was functioning in one reality with the authority of another reality. So you think about the way God made Adam. He made Adam's body, and then the spirit went into the body. So you're not a body that's, wow, I've just acquired a spirit. It is, you are a spirit that has been clothed with the body. So what happens is this, is your body will tell you the earthly reality. Your body will tell you, this is hot, this is cold. I am sad, I am happy. This is good, this is bad. I like this, I like that. So your body lives in this reality, but your spirit has the ability to communicate with heaven and then look at the two and they go, now, which reality will I choose? Look at this verse. In Mark chapter 8, 18. You have good eyes, and yet you still don't see. You have good ears, yet you still don't hear. Neither do you remember. He's Jesus, and he's talking, and he's going, you're hearing, but you can't hear. You're seeing, but you can't see. So what Jesus was saying, I have come with a heavenly reality, and I am speaking, but you don't hear. You're seeing miracles, but you don't see. So what you have, this is the amazing thing about being alive, is that God's saying, hey, there's a reality. There's a kingdom reality that can live on earth. See, this reality cannot exist in heaven, but heaven's reality can exist on earth. So you will never go to when you get to heaven, you will not think like you're thinking now. You will not believe like you're believing now. So the kingdom reality, when God says there is a reality that overrides the primary reality. So I'm living in this reality. So that's why we talked about last week when the Bible says, let the weak present reality say, I am strong. See, when you start to live from one reality to another reality, that's when it becomes confusing. Because most people, we have been trained to live on this reality. See, on earthly reality is get used to this. This is your talent. This is your IQ. This is your influence. Dream on this. But God says, I want you to dream on a heavenly reality. See, you were made to live in heaven's reality. This reality is foreign. Watch this. When Adam decided to sell the whole human race out, he came from heaven's reality to earth, and the moment he sinned, what did he do? He says, I've got fear, I am naked. He started saying everything from this earthly perspective. So from the moment we are born, we are educated to live in one reality. So you dream, you believe, you expect on one reality. See, when Jesus came, what was surprising about him was that he comes in and he starts to speak the things that aren't as though they are. He's not making it up. He's seeing something that is real. See, this present reality says, if I can touch it, it's real. In the kingdom reality, if I believe it, it's real. See, the two realities, right now, right where you are now, you can live naturally or supernaturally. The choice is yours. Smile. See, the thing is, right, God says you always have a choice. The only way to have a choice is to have two things. If you came to my house and you go, I'm going to give you a choice what to eat. We've got chicken and chicken and chicken. Which one? Oh, I think I'll have chicken. That's not a choice, correct? But if I said I have fish and chicken, you've got a choice. So God says, because I am a father, you are on this reality, but I am going to give you the choice of what reality do you want to walk in. When you read the Word of God, it is absolutely amazing. You know what's really fascinating? The first church, they were led. They did not have the New Testament. They were led by supernatural signs and wonders. Anytime God wanted to move in them, there was an angel. There was a prophetic word. You know what really fascinates me? Is the most watched television shows are all about the supernatural. The Vampire Diaries, which none of you know what I'm talking about. Right? Dracula. Frankenstein. Friday the 14th. In your mind, you said 13th. Think about it. You have a grasp what the world is resonating to. They're resonating to, there is something more out there. So when we start to move in heaven's reality, God says there is a reality that is more than you are. See, what God says this, you good? When you get to earth, we all have differing things. Like some of, we're not all born with the same IQ. Most of you are not born as handsome and as good looking as I am. I understand that, and I don't feel for you. Right? We're all born in differing degrees. Some people are born in rich families. Some people are born in medium class families. Some people are not born into families. We get all of this, right? So we get this word. It's so unfair. It's not just. Do you know what brings justice on the earth? It's heaven's reality. Because heaven's reality says this: everything that is in heaven is available to every single person. That means you can be rich without having a good IQ. We're used to thinking one reality. So people say, the reason I am so successful is because I have this degree, I have this education, I have this, I have this, I have this. But some of us are not born with that form, with all of those privileges, so we're saying, I can never be that. Yes, on one realm. But when you step into another realm, God says, it's not about education, it's not about who your parents are, it's not about the wealth that you were born into, it's all about Him. That is why Jesus made this amazing statement. It is so hot. He says, seek ye first the kingdom. Then he says, all these other things will be given you. Why? Because, all of us want the same stuff. How many of you get up in the morning and go, God, I really want a bombing car. God, I want a car that doesn't work. God, I want a car that when I'm driving along, all the bits fall off. Yes, I had a hard top and I went over a bump. Now I've got a convertible. You don't wake up in the morning, God, please make me sick. Oh, God, I just want to be sick. Oh, God, I just want to go to the doctors. I love the waiting rooms. Oh, God. Every one of us are going after things. But God says this, the things are not the problem. It's the reality that you have to get them. So God says this. He says, when you are in this reality, and then you and everybody else is running for the same things. Everybody's wanting the same thing. But if you seek after me, watch this. You know what he was saying? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He was going this. If you seek the source, not the method, you'll get it. There isn't a 20-step plan to get to Jesus. God says, put me first. How do you fix up a good marriage? Put God first. How do you get a promotion at work? Put God first. Smile, come on. You don't have to pay $5,000 to go to some of those self-help conferences. You can get it here just for free from me. See, the whole concept is we're living on one reality and we're going, how do I become successful in this reality? So you get terms like dog eat dog. I have to strive. I've got to work. I've got to work. I've got to work. And God says, I'm putting you in the same environment, but I am giving you a choice. How are you going to get there? Think about this. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God says that he made them 10 times smarter than the rest. That's unfair. So God says, you've got an IQ of 10. I'm going to put you in a university. I'm going to make you an IQ of 150. So people say, how did you get an IQ of 150? I don't know. God gave it to me. You okay? That is why the Bible says that we start to move in the realm of faith, because faith is the divine equalizer. Because the Bible says, whatever I believe, I can bring into this realm, not what how much energy I have, what is my influence, what is this and what is this. So what we have here is that if I am looking in this realm to get ahead, when somebody starts to talk about something spiritual, I don't hear it. If all of your energy is in your self-energy, how can I? It's about willpower. It's about my education. It's about this. And all of a sudden, you start to see the Word of God. You don't hear the Word. It's because your source is directed. This is how I'm going to get things. Remember the first time that I learned this principle. There was a machine that was broken down. I was into electrical servicing, and we used to service electrical machinery, automated machinery. And there was the one machine that everybody gave up was in the corner. And my boss wanted to get rid of him because I was giving him a hard time. And he said, look, Ted, go over there and fix that machine. What he was really saying, get out of my hair, because I've had a go at it. Everybody's had a go at it fixing it. So I come back to this machine. And I'm looking at it, and I understand wiring. I understand the techniques on how a machine should work. And I am there. And then the Spirit of God comes upon me. And he goes, I want you to lay hands on the machine and pray. And I go, that is not in my manual. So, see, I went to school. They said, Ted, you got circuitry. You got negative and positive. You got relays. You got sensors. So when electric flow flows, something is stopping it. So I know all that. And God says, just lay your hands on it. Now, when I was praising God, because God had a bit of mercy on me, I was facing away from everybody. So what I did, I put my hands on this machine, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, make it work. Next thing I know, I thought I might as well just try a few things that everybody else has tried. I tried them, and the machine kicks up, it starts working, right? And everybody thinks I'm really smart. Now, I couldn't get through the door because my head kind of grew. I was going, excuse me, my head's... all of a sudden, what happened was this. There was a present reality. But God says there's a kingdom reality, and the kingdom reality always supersedes natural reality. That is why the answer to man's sin was not on earth, it was in heaven. So heaven had to come in to the earth. And Jesus says, you have prepared a body for me. So I will now function in this reality, but with a heaven mindset, with a heaven power, with heaven understanding. See, wisdom is not something you learn in a book. You learn information in a book, but wisdom from heaven gives an answer to earth. Your problem is not in present reality. The answer to your problem is a heavenly reality. Heaven needs to invade your reality and you will start to get answers. See, what impresses people is when people found out I've got a 10th grade education. I only went to school up to year 10. And I'm doing the work that somebody else that has a degree in. And when you tell them, then they become impressed. They go, how is it that you can do what you do? See, this is what happened with Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. God says, I'm going to put you into this system, but I want you to operate in this system on my system. So they were 10 times smarter. How many of you would like to be 10 times smarter than the person employing you? Just think about it. Let me ask you another question, because he was really smart. Where did Joseph learn leadership skills, economic skills, while working in a prison? Help me here. Come on. How many people do you know that go into prison for 10 years and come out and go, oof, I'm a banker now? So you get out of prison and you go, what are you going to do now that you're out of prison? I think I might go for the... I might. The election is coming, isn't it? Yeah, I think I might run for PM. You know what God does? He puts a man in prison. He downloads how a system works while he's in prison. And then he puts him in a present reality, and he gets heaven reality. And what does Pharaoh do? He says, I'm going to take you from the least, and I'm going to make you. It only in the state, in governing the country, are you under me. Everything else is on you. When we live in this reality, we think, well, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't pray. I can't be a mum. I can't be a dad. I can't be this. It's all true. Listen to me carefully. You're not lying. But that is one reality that can be changed. Let the weak say, I am. So what you're doing, you're saying, I know that I am weak. I know that I can't. But there is a reality that supersedes my reality. It is His strength that covers my weakness. It is His wisdom that covers my intellect. What we do is we walk on one reality. We talk on one reality. We go, well, this is it. Now watch this. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Syria wants to defeat Israel. So the Syrians come together in a boardroom and they go, you know what we're going to do? This is our strategy. Let's do this, 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 and this, and this, and this. But then there's a man of God in Israel. And he can hear what's happening in the chambers that they're working on. So he goes to the king of Israel and he goes, hey, they're planning this and this and this, and they're going to be camped here. So what you want to do is you want to go around them so you don't have to fight them. So this keeps coming up. And even to the point, the king of Syria says, what's going on? And he goes, there is a man that can tell you what you say in your bedroom. And after that, he stopped speaking in his bedroom. Now, I want you to watch this. There's two realities. Children of Israel are God's kingdom. And there's another kingdom that wants to overtake him. And here are they're strategizing. They're doing this, they're doing this. But there's a man of God, and God says to him, They're doing over there. This is what they want to do. I'm talking to you. So here's the key. What's this? There are things that are being planned to get you, but when you live in God's reality forewarns you. See, there is a huge reality of God. So I want you to watch this. So he said, go and see where he is that I might send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Now, this is important. Every time the Bible puts a name in, look up what it means. The word Dothan means two wells. So what the picture there is, the man of God is staying in a place and he has two wells. So he has a choice. Which well will I drink from? The Bible comes up and you hear this again. Which report will you believe? Remember we used to sing that song? Now all the old people are going, yeah, I know. See, the whole continent, he's in Doha and he's going, what report will I believe? Where will I drink from? You see, you have a choice. You have two wells. You have the well of heaven and you have the well of earth. Which will you draw from? Which will you abide to? One well says, this is how you're born. This is what happens. You know, hey, you know, when your kids become teenagers, they're going to leave you. You know, when this happens, life's not that good. Da, 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 da. But you drink from another well. Even Jesus said, when they came to him with food, he says, I have meat and drink that you know not of. See, whatever you feed will reproduce what is coming in. So if I am feeding on this level, this is what I will produce. But if I'm feeling on a spiritual level, I can be like Jesus. Jesus said in Romans 4:17, speaking the things that are not seen on one level that are at this level. Now watch this, watch this. The Word of God says, by His stripes you were healed. Now, hold on, that's strange. He doesn't say this. By my stripes, when you believe in them, the healing will be there. It says this. In heaven, you are already healed. Let me take this up to another level. I have never, ever did an altar call like this. Now, watch this. Okay, you good with me? How many of you ever heard of a gentleman or a ministry boat of Charles Finney? Charles Finney is recognized as one of the greatest evangelists, even greater than some of the present ones we have today. Now, I remember looking at him, reading about him. He started off in the late 18th and into the 19th. And you know what's amazing with his ministry? They traced this back. They said even second to third, fourth generations, there were presidents, doctors, lawyers, architects, people that changed the community. So the question was asked this: what did this man preach that when people got saved, their kids' kids were taken to another level? They could trace up to four generations of somebody that was in Charles Finney's meeting that can go, wow, when did such things start to happen here? So I started to look into this. And then I realized that the culture that Charles Finney was preaching in, the biggest movement, the church movement that was happening at Charles Finney's time was Calvinism. Now, Calvinism, root meaning is this. This is the teaching that they had, is that God loves you, but he has to show you. So he wants to save you, but if he doesn't pick you, you can't do it. Now, this is, we use altar call different, but back then they used to have an altar call. So this is how they used to preach the gospel. Jesus really loves you. Jesus really cares for you. Jesus really has forgiven you. He's done all of that, but if he doesn't choose you, you can't have it. Many are called, but few are chosen. So you know what would happen? Is that then they would preach like this, then would have an altar call. And then the people, this is where we get the term, the false term, we're waiting on God. So what they would do is then they would come to the altar and worship and wait for God to pick them. So that were there, God, please pick me. Oh, God, I know you died, but God, pick me. Pick me for salvation. Pick me for a miracle. Pick me for favor. So what they would do, they never knew that they thought that the decision to be blessed was still with God. The decision that were weighed, will God do it or won't he do it? So they would come to the altar call and pray and pray and pray until there was an encounter or something happened and go, oh, I'm saved. So people would be night after night coming to the altar call. You know what Charles Finney did? He understood reality. He says, he went to the people there. This is the reality. That God has died for you and has already chosen you. Now you make the choice that he's made for you. Think about this. Most of our thinking in the reality is God still making his mind about us? When Charles Finney did this, this is when we call reformation in the church. What it was people were there and you're thinking, you mean to tell me I have lived this reality hoping that God would choose me for a better reality when God has already chosen me, but I now choose the decision that he's made for me. So God says, I heal you. You know what you do? You respond, I accept what you made. Do you know what's really sad? Is that every person on this globe, their sins are forgiven. When Jesus was on the cross, he didn't do this. Okay, this person will say yes, I'll die for him. This person will say, no, I'm not going to die for him. I'm not going to waste my blood on him. Do you realize that your neighbor that you are witnessing to has already been forgiven? The only difference between you and him is that you have received what Christ has already given you. You good? So when we start to think with this Dohan thing, is that there's two wells. One well says it is already finished. That is why when Jesus made this term, it is finished on the cross. He wasn't doing this. Oh, great, I finally finished it. How many of you have ever had to do something you didn't like and then you said it's finished? It's like for me, like gardening. I'm really spiritual gardening. Gardening is something that Silva has to push me to. You know, Sylvie does things like that. Oh, hey, Ted, the grandkids went outside and we lost them in the lawn. You know, hey, Ted, we used to have a tree, but now we've got this jungle. And I go, I do this, right? I think she's hinting, but I am not listening. And then finally, I go into the shed, you know, and all that, you know, them weeding and all that. But when it's done, I do this, it's finished. I have finally finished what I don't like doing. So now I'm going to go inside, I'm going to watch sport. I'm going to watch heavenly sport. You know when Jesus said he's finished, right? You know what he said? I have answered every question. I have provided for every need. I have loved to the max every single person. Father, the way you have loved me, I have loved them. So for everything they need, it is finished. It's no longer in the balance. It's no longer will God or want God. Listen to me carefully. That is why when you are witnessing to somebody, you come up to them, God has already done this. See, in my picture, when I pray for people for healing, I am not going, God, please, please, please. I'm going, God, you have already done this. See, what made Charles Finney, the Reformation that took us to an amazing heights, was people in the congregation were not going, oh, God, pick me, pick me. Charles Finney gets up and he says, excuse me, everybody. God has picked every one of you for salvation, for healing, for baptism, for prosperity, for health. And then he says this, now the choice is yours. See, in my stupid times, I used to think about the judgment seat when God's going to judge people. And I always, you know, I remember listening to people and they're going, you know, well, hey, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go to God and I'm going to tell him, oh, I'm going to tell him this. Well, you know what? You didn't give me a chance. You didn't give me this opportunity. I want you to notice this. When you stand in for the presence of God, one of the things, I wouldn't build a church on this, but I feel this was for me. One other day, I was really seeking the Lord, and the Lord said to me, why is there going to be tears in heaven? So my initial response was, okay, Father, probably the reason is that, you know, so-and-so didn't get saved, so-and-so this, and he goes, yep, that's true. But let's take it to another level. And I go, there's going to be tears in heaven, why? Because this is what I felt God saying, Ted, you're going to get to heaven and then you're going to see everything that I have given you that you didn't choose. And I'm going, what? And I go, but, well, God, I'm waiting on you. God says, no, you weren't waiting on me. I was waiting on you. It's like me inviting you out for dinner. And you're at home asking, is it God's will for you to come? See, the mentality is this, right? In this level here, you're hoping that it gets done. Now, you're good. We're not going to finish today, but because I want to finish up on a high note in praise and worship. Let's imagine this, right? That this is the cross of Jesus Christ. Okay? Can you work with me? You need to agree with me. Now, with the cross, there is before the cross, at the cross, and then after the cross. Okay? Present, I am before the cross. I am at the cross. I am after the cross. Now, talk about realities. The reality is I am on this side of the cross. Jesus is dying for my sin. I'm looking at, wow, the cross is amazing. Wow, look at that. There's Jesus. He's on the cross. He's dying for my sin. There is a process that God is outworking it. Now, watch this. As I come before the cross, then I go through the cross. And the cross says this. Jesus says, I died once. I am no longer on the cross. When you pass through the cross, I give you all the benefits of the cross. So before the cross, I'm looking at, wow, this is amazing. I come through the cross and God says, I am no longer dying for sin. I can now give you the reward of the cross. So the punishment of the cross was for my sin, but the reward of accepting that is everything that he is and was and is to come is on me. So now watch this. I come through the cross, but I don't stay here. I move. And after the cross, this is now the work of grace. I start to live and move and have my being in what Jesus died for. Most of the church are still hanging around the cross. There's nothing wrong with hanging around the cross. The question is, why are you hanging around the cross? Jesus said, it is the women that came to him on the grave. What did the angel say? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Interesting question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Because God says, I am no longer on the cross. I answered it. You know what Jesus answered? You're sick. I have healed you. You are poor. I have prospered you. You are unfavored. I have favored you. You are an orphan. Now you're a son. See, what we do now, this is where, you know, on Friday night, we were talking about boldness. Here's the boldness, is now I need to have boldness to take what is mine and live it through. Agree with me. For us to move forward in a new season is Jesus, I come to the cross, I get everything that he has given me. And he says, now, with everything that I have given you, go out and bring heaven on earth. See, the present reality is, some of us are still thinking, I wish God would bless me, but God says, I've already blessed you. Oh, God, I wish you would do it. God, I have already done it. The Bible says, now faith is present, not will be. On one level, I'm looking at Jesus. There's weeping. There's wow. But God says this. You know what's really interesting to me? When I love reading the Word, but never once did Jesus ever put a guilt trip on anybody and go, you know how much it hurt me to get you saved? He never said, hey, Ted, you know what? Man, I did all of this for you and you can't even pray for 5 minutes. What's wrong with you? Ted, you should be feeling bad. Look what they did for me. God says, what's this? Because it's not about how much I suffered. It's more about what my suffering has produced. Sometimes we are so moved by what he suffered, but we should be even more moved about what the suffering produced. I remember the first time with Silve, in our firstborn, I have never, ever seen pain like that before. I have broken a leg. I've been in, I've played physical sport. I understand pain. But one of the things that was so spiritual about that waiting room, I remember Silve, she almost hit the doctor. Anyway, but I saw the pain and the anguish, but something happened that when Christine came out and given her and then gave her to Silve, you know one thing that vanished? The pain. You know what one thing I forgot? I was in there feeling so sorry for her. But now I'm holding this baby and I'm going, wow. Because you know what I realized? It wasn't just about the suffering. It is what the suffering produced. And what we need to do is move above and go, okay, God, I thank you for this, but now I'm going to live in the present reality. And the present reality is heaven. It is finished. It is done. It is done. Now watch this. We'll finish up quickly now. Worship band, if you can come up. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God rose up early, he went out. And there was an army surrounding the city, horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, what shall we do? So I want you to watch this. Is that the Syrians found out where Dothan was. And the king of Syria sent an army and chariots, and they surrounded them. And the servant of the man of God comes out, and present reality goes, wow, look at all of these men. Look at their chariots. Wow, we have undone. But watch this. So he answered. So this is the man of God. Two realities kick in here. We have one reality where by my physical eyes, I'm seeing the chariots, I'm seeing the spears, I'm seeing the look in their eyes. They're going to come and they're going to slaughter us. But then listen to this. Elisha prayed. Wow. And this was his prayer. Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. Now watch this. They didn't just appear, they were there. The prayer wasn't this. Hey, God, I'm your servant. Can you send somebody to help us? But he goes, he prayed to the young man and he goes, what do you see? I see Syrian mercenaries. I see their blades. We're done. And he goes, you're right. Then he prayed for him. God opened his eyes. And then what did he see? Watch this. Then you have that verse. There are more for us than against us. But what it needed was a supernatural act on the natural act. He had eyes to see, but he couldn't see. And so Elijah comes to him and says to his servant, servant, there's only one thing wrong with you. And he goes, what's that? He goes, you're seeing on one level, but I want to show you that the spiritual dimension has power over this dimension. And when you see what's in the spirit, you will have confidence in this level. So what does he do? He prays for him. And this is what we're going to pray. We're going to pray in a moment, and then we're just going to worship God for a while. But this is what happened. He prayed for his eyes. And then the spirit man looked. And he goes, wow, Elisha. Chariots of fire. Chariots of fire. Chariots of fire. You know the next miracle that happened? Is when he saw the provision. All of the Syrian men were blinded. And then they led them to captivity. Watch this. The Syrian army came to surround and put into captivity the man of God and his servant. But when he saw the answer, the problem got blinded. And then they took the blind men, took him to Samaria, put him in the compound and surrounded them. And then their eyes got open and they go, wow, what happened was this, is what you see in the spirit will change what you are facing now. See, the enemy came, but when the man of God prayed, God opened his eyes. His eyes were open and he says, Elisha, there are more for us than against us. This showed me something. Most of us feel, how many of you have always felt overwhelmed that there's more stuff against you than for you? Stop being Christians and become people of God. Come on. You go to work, you feel everybody's against you. Come on. How many of you have ever, you're driving to work, you're driving the car park, and you get that feeling, oh no, I'm entering the enemy's territory. You know, I remember walking into work one day and there was a guy, my colleague, and I said, "G'day, mate," and he looked at me and says, "I'm not your mate." I remember, you know, you're coming in and the boss goes, "We're 300,000 short. What are you going to do?" "Shh, I've got to go home and cry. I've got to go say, Silvo, please come and get me." And I said, "So the thing is, like, you okay with it?" What the spirit of this world age says, we're bigger than you. The church is so small. God's not that good. Look at this. Look at the economy. Look at this. Look at your position. Look at your education. Look at your energy level. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. It's too big. But then you go, wow, God opened my eyes. Do you realize? Now I'm starting to preach. When Satan got thrown out, only one third of the angels became demons. So what does it tell me? There's still two thirds. There are more angels for us than demons against us. Plus. We got a third of the, two thirds of the angels working for us. Plus we have the Father. We have the Son. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the power of the cross. We have the Word. You are bigger and greater, but you've got to know it. I've just got this new lease of energy just right now. This is my assignment. This has been my... I was praying yesterday afternoon, just preparing my heart, and then early this morning, and was this, God, open our eyes. Because if I see that there's more for us than against us, then I will go through. Some of you need to start to rise up and you need to go, well, there's more for us. There's more for me. I am not disadvantaged. I am advantaged. When the man of God spoke it, there was blindness that came on the enemy. And they go, wow, they needed to be led. Church, individuals, whatever you are facing right now, there is more for you than against you. God is not making up his mind. Will he help you? He has helped you. We need to rise up. Come on, rise up with me. Come on, let's rise. We're going to pray in a moment. I want you to do something. And we're going to, after that, we're going to sing that I am a child of God. I am present tense. But I want you to take one of your hands. I want you to put them on your eyes, physical eyes. We're going to ask God for a miracle right now. Father, I ask you, open my eyes now. Open them. I want to see. I want to see. From this time on, Father, I pray as the church and as individuals, open our eyes to see all the benefits of the cross. Father, open our eyes that we see answers instead of problems. Father, open our eyes. Father, we want to see Jesus and high and lifted up. Father, we don't want to see Jesus on the cross. We see him high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. Father, in the name of Jesus, we go from this level to heaven level. Lift up your hands with me. Come on. I want you to just now start to see God. Start to go, God, my problem is not that big. God, I'm seeing the answers. I see you. I see the answer coming. I see prosperity coming. I see jobs coming. I see provision coming. Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Jesus, you have said yes to me, yes to confidence, yes to my finance, yes to my health, yes to my emotions, yes to my relationship, yes, 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 yes. Father, we break every lie.